healthcare is now officially the biggest business across the board on the private side as well as on the federal side. It is the leading cause of bankruptcy in this country. It's number one is medical bills. 65% of the population that is pre-diabetic or full-blown diabetic. All the rates are going to go up, which means your premiums are going to go up. We are on a prelude to socialized medicine. You're a healthy young 33-year-old woman or man, and you have a vaccine, and now you're having heart issues, and then you go try to apply for private health care or life insurance. Yeah, you've got the vaccine, but now that's creating a pre-existing condition. They're going to look at that, and the insurance companies are going to be like, well, we'll accept the life insurance, but we're going to give you a substandard rate. And then the health side of it, they're going to go, we're not going to cover you because this vaccine.
It's not a vaccine. Cannot be defined as a vaccine. It's actually considered a human trial.
Authorized but not approved. That's experimental. Most likely that's not going to be covered. Sorry.
You're listening to Seeking and Speaking Your Inner Truth podcast. I'm Diane Kayser, a functional medicine practitioner, holistic health coach, breast implant illness recovery expert, author of Killer Breasts, Non-Toxic Beauty Queen, and founder of the Qi Holistic Health Institute. I'm joined by my co-host, Carmen Hunter, certified health coach, trusted health coach mentor, wellness practitioner educator, and founder of the Institute for Functional Health Coaching. If you're a warrior or leader on a mission to transcend trauma and toxins and transform it into your greatest superpower, you are in the right place. This podcast will help you get right to the source of your symptoms today to get right to work on. How do I listen to what my mind, body, and heart are trying to say? And what action should I take now? Because when you do, you heal yourself, you heal others around you, and you heal the whole world. This is the most sacred work you will ever do, facing shadows, smashing fears, walking the messy and magical path back to you and the mission you came here to serve. And we are honored to be your guide. You ready? Let's go.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Seeking and Speaking Your Inner Truth podcast with Diane and Carmen. Hey, Carmen.
Hello, hello. Happy to be back. It's been a couple of days since we've seen each other and done an episode, so I'm super excited to have Sheridan back with us today.
Yes, we've got Sheridan Sky, Hootwester down here. Thanks for being back with us today to talk about protection and health insurance, among many other protection elements like life insurance and estate planning and more. Sheridan, you were with us before, I think 3 months ago.
I'd say that 3 months ago. And thank you too for having me again.
Yeah,
it's absolutely. A real pleasure.
Yeah. So the first time we had Sheridan on, everybody, Sheridan is my partner in crime and he is here to talk about protection. So people tend to choose in their career, their passion and purpose, the things that are the most important to them. And so Sheridan is a man, men tend to associate their role and humanity as protection. And so today we're going to talk a lot about that because there are many people who are asking questions, and this is an episode driven for you, by you, and because of you. And thanks to you, we've got a lot of questions that we're going to answer today in our Inner Circle group, which is our membership community. It's called Action Takers and Change Makers. And you guys will find all the links to that in our bios if you're listening to this on social media later on. But there will be links below us where you guys can join us in the membership platform and get access to the censored version, part two of this episode, where there are certain things we cannot say publicly and neither can Sheridan, as well as anybody who is in our community that has specific questions. We are supporting you in execution. Action taker steps. We're not executing anything except for the things that are not serving you. So today we're going to this is a part two of what Sheridan and Carmen and myself did a while ago where we talked about insurance. Several of you have reached out to Sheridan, asked questions, and looked at the holes. There are many holes in people's health insurance policies. We tend to think that we have health insurance, we have life insurance, and we're invincible. The message today is that to help you understand where you are not, where you're not covered, so there are no surprises if something happens with you. So let's talk today. First, let's get started with this question, Sheridan.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that think that, okay, well, I've got health insurance. I don't need to do anything else. All health insurance is health insurance, and that's it. End of story. But if you were to look into a crystal ball and give us a preview of what the next few years, maybe even the next year, looks like in the world of health and health insurance and life insurance as well, and what we need to know to protect and prevent the downsides of that. What would you say about what you see in the future?
Oh, that's a great question. 2020 has definitely threw in a wrench into what I thought the future was going to bring. But let's talk about just some statistics. I like statistics. So currently, since 2018, 48% of federal budget is strictly healthcare. 48%. So that was 2018. I would probably put it close to 50% of our federal budget is strictly healthcare. GM and Starbucks pay more for healthcare. I'm just using two examples of companies, big ones. They pay more for healthcare than they do for coffee beans and steel. Okay. Healthcare is now officially the biggest business across the board on the private side as well as on the federal side. So, to say a crystal ball, I would say it is only going to grow. Rates are probably only going to increase, particularly in this country. We're over-medicated, under-exercised. You have 65% of the population that is pre-diabetic or full-blown diabetic. So that's going to increase rates. So across the board, I'm assuming private coverage, even in your group plans, which are less expensive up to Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, all the rates are going to go up, which means your premiums are going to go up. I think we are on a prelude to possibly, my guess in the next 10 years is socialized medicine, just because the costs are going to go up so high. Now, technology has been probably a big fan of lowering costs because technology is just growing. It's compounding. That is bringing costs down. And I'm seeing a lot of doctors also, or clinics and hospitals that are doing cash pay, which means they're kind of pulling away from the insurance company, kind of pulling away a little bit from the healthcare industry. So they can better protect their patients. They can do a one-on-one. They don't want to be part of a group and being pushed to get patients in and out of a revolving door for the greed, you know, the money. So, you know, there's some good things that are happening in the industry from a pivot point of adjusting, which I'm in favor of, but I'm also seeing on the other side where I can only speak for the United States, but I think we will be paying more for healthcare. It is, again, the largest industry in the country right now. And we are not necessarily a healthy country. So most of us who are healthy are going to be paying for those who are sick.
Okay. I want to come back to what you said just a moment ago. Can you give us a definition of what socialized medicine is? For many people don't have any idea what socialism is even is. So what is socialized medicine?
Socialized, or I want to say universal healthcare. We have two examples right now in this country that are universal healthcare. One is Medicaid. You know, if you're low income, you don't pay anything for your medical or your healthcare. That is one option or one example. The second option is Medicare. You know, for the elderly, have to say age 65, you pay a little bit a month, but essentially that is socialized healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Which, so no matter what somebody's doing, how they're living their life, we have to pay for their care is what you're saying, no matter what. Just kind of like the people who are out there telling us that, you know, we're not wearing masks, we don't care about other people, and they've got carts of crap and they're riding around a little rascal, not exercising, moving their body, or caring about their body. We're not allowed to say you don't care about us.
Absolutely, Carmen. That's a great, great point. We have a pseudo health plan right now in the country since 2002, I do believe, and President Obama's administration implemented that. It's called the Affordable Care Act, or the Unaffordable Care Act, or what everybody knows as Obamacare. That is also a pseudo socialized medicine.
Vehicle. Wait, did Chris just have a lag there? Was that me?
That was your side, I think. Okay. No lag on mine. Yep.
Okay.
So, you know, that is something that's already been in place. And I do not think anything's going to go, it's not going to go away. Honestly, I do not think it's going away. I think they implemented that to help. And I think in some way they had some good intentions towards that because a lot of folks needed health care and couldn't afford it. They weren't at the Medicaid level, but they needed a coverage. And so Affordable Care Act offered that, but it also has its disadvantages for the rest of us. I mean, it's based on income. So if you are making too much money, you won't get a subsidy, which means that a portion or even if the whole premium or a portion of your premium can be paid for by your tax dollars. But for folks who are making too much money, that's not an option, because those plans get really expensive really quick with high deductibles. We're looking, you know, $8,000 to $17,000 per individual, up to $17,000 per family.
Yeah. And people aren't considering that if they have a high deductible plan, that if something does happen to them, even currently, you know, I have a $10,000 deductible plan right now because I don't want to go to the hospital for anything unless it's an emergency, because I take full responsibility for my health. Now, there are people who are not doing that. They're not taking full responsibility for their health. They're not detoxing properly. They're not working on doing annual screenings at the root cause level. And they're just going to the doctor for, you know, blood tests here and there. And the doctor tells them that everything looks fine. They go away and their cancer is still brewing in their body. And these are the things that we know. Like, even I did a breast cancer screening. I didn't do a breast cancer screening. I went for an MRI before I had my breast implants taken out. And they said that my report said I had extremely dense breast tissue. This is just one example, ladies, mm-hmm. because breast cancer is the number one kind of cancer for women. And I said, well, it says I have the highest stage here of breast density tissue. What do I do? And I'm just playing, you know, just kind of ignorant, as though I was a normal person who doesn't know anything about health or screenings. And they said, well, there's nothing you can do now. We'll just watch it. How many times have you guys heard that? You know, when you go to the doctor, oh, well, there's nothing we could do. There's a big fibroid, a big mass, big cyst. There's nothing we could do. We'll just watch it. Watch it until what? And then what happened? Until what cancer? Because then they have the treatment and then your health insurance can kick in or not. And if they don't, then tell us a little more about that. Because if your deductible is $10,000, so that you can keep the premium lower, right? Which is mm-hmm. what most people are doing right now, because they can't or don't want to afford health insurance. They think, oh, you know, I'll just deal with it if something happens. There are a lot of people who things are happening and they have this $10,000 out of pocket mm-hmm. expense, but they haven't planned for that possibility by having a $10,000 bucket of money mm-hmm. to buffer that, right? And then cancer treatments come through, and this is not a rare thing. You know, cancer is on the rise more now or more than ever, because so many of us have been masked, and, you know, for the last couple of years, and cancer takes 10 to 20 years to brew up. So give us a little bit of insight on that, if you would, Sheridan.
Yeah, you bet. I can answer your question. You made a great point, Diane. Having a high deductible plan is kind of the way you want to go, because you're self-insuring. If you're healthy, you're taking a gamble. But the thing is if you're actively participating in your lifestyle, your exercise, and taking care of your health, a higher deductible is going to save you much more at the end of the year. Because most likely, if you're taking care of yourself, and nobody has a crystal ball on their health, but you're going to be able to self-insure and save money in the long run by taking care of yourself and having a high deductible plan. And to the point is knowing what that deductible is, putting some money aside in an HSA for that stuff, because you're self-insuring up into that amount and a little more, but that's okay because you're paying less a month for it. Now, for somebody who isn't putting money away, that's something that they're going to have to think about, and you're not going to get away from healthcare bills. You can go to bankruptcy court, but medical bills is something that you are not going to walk away. They'll negotiate them down, but they will last until you die, period. You're not going to walk away from those.
And if you can't pay them, they'll negatively affect your credit score too, which negatively impacts your ability to borrow money in the matrix.
Absolutely. It is the leading cause of bankruptcy in this country. It's number one is medical bills.
Yes.
So yes, you can. I cannot stress it enough. Carmen mentioned it as well as you, Diane, is it's so important to just take a practical approach to your health, stay healthy, actively engage in your health, talk to your doctors, question your doctors. I understand their point of view on certain services. If it's unnecessary, that's where they're going to say, just like you said, well, you have dense breast tissue, we're going to keep an eye on it. Well, they're getting pressured not to have any services rendered to you because it's not necessary. And that's one of the reasons why healthcare is so expensive, is because I'm not saying a lot of these doctors are doing it, but they're submitting these services for folks that are unnecessary. And that's what drives costs up too. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's a double-edged sword, but yes, I'd agree. If you can get a high deductible plan, know what you have, know that that is your self-insured up until that deductible amount, which isn't a big deal.
Yeah, I would dare say too, the root cause of the reason for bankruptcy is not medical costs. If we go to the root of why people have medical costs, it's because of their lack of accountability and personal responsibility for their own temple. And that is partially not a fault of our own, because our culture has conditioned us, talk to your doctor, as though your doctor or doctors are God, and all the while not taking personal responsibility for the temple that God gave you. Because we've got, like you said, and like Carmen said, we've got people who are not taking responsibility for their health, driving around their scooters, thinking that we should pay for them. And, oh, how dare us, you know, not consider them, because, you know, they need to be taken care of, because they're believing that the old holy doctors are the ones that are going to save them. So I think there's this, and then there's also a conversation that we want to have today about those who have been jabbed, who've been vaccinated. And what that looks like too. Carmen, did you want to say anything about that before we got into that discussion?
Yeah, I'm thinking we might want to save that conversation for behind closed doors, maybe.
True.
You know, but I do kind of have a question, and I don't know, this just came up in my head. You know, we've got a lot of people out there that live with, they live in fear of something happening to them. The minute they get a small symptom, maybe they get a little bit of dizziness because their blood sugar is low, or maybe their blood pressure rises just a little bit or something, and they rush off to the doctor. Do you have any idea, and this is just my curiosity here, how many people actually just run to the doctor at the first sign of something not being right? Does that actually drive our costs up when there's really nothing wrong? There's nothing wrong at all. Normal, you know, life or whatever, but somebody wakes up one day, maybe they, like I said, a little low blood sugar, they get nervous, they call their doctor, they rush
in. Heart
is the breath. Hypochondriacs, yeah. Possibly, right?
Right. Like, so does that potentially drive some of those costs up as well as unnecessary doctor visits and not trusting our own instincts and intuition that we're going to be okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure you guys know doctors. That's a conversation you could bring up with them. And they'll tell you stories after story of patients that are just what I call frequent flyers in and out. The system has adjusted in an order to create telehealth medicine, live MD. That is an adjustment to try to keep costs down. You know, talk to somebody over the phone. Don't mess with the hassles and logistics, and don't, you know, bug your doctor to try to get an office appointment, you know? So yes, those people who, you know, live in fear or hypochondriacs or actually have, you know, a legitimate condition that anything can activate it, who knows? Yes, they drive costs up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And our goal here, you know, in this podcast is to give people the ability to learn, you know, to trust themselves, to listen to their own instincts, to establish their own medical and health freedom so that they're not part of this problem. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not here because you have not yet gotten the downloads that is our intention. And if you're not ready to step into that wisdom of what is my body trying to say, then you're on the wrong podcast, because we're not here to say that, you know, there's a pill for every symptom that comes up. We're here to celebrate that a symptom surfaces because it is your body's mechanism of check engine light. So if you're the kind of person that wants to pull the check engine light out or goes to the doctor every single time, and you're not ready to wake up to this and take personal responsibility, then you're going to need a low deductible health insurance plan, because you fully rely on doctors to save you. So it's okay wherever you are, and there's no judgment, but just know what side of the fence that you're on now. It's something like Sheridan to see if you have the right insurance plan based and coverage amounts based on your value system and how you approach health. And you would only know that, you know, this is what we wanted to talk today about. And then there's going to be a part two where there's certain things we can't say out there. You guys, again, join us in the Action Takers group, where there's going to be links below on how to do that, because there are certain things that Sheridan can't say. We're going to start talking about them now, but just know that the continued part of this conversation will be behind closed doors. And these are the questions many of you have been asking about, which is things like, if somebody has gotten a jab, are the health insurance companies going to provide for you with the associated symptoms and side effects that are known to be from and medically determined as defined from the side effects of the vaccine. And there's employers, there's mandates, there's you will lose your job, you know, no jab, no job.
Right.
And there's responsibility. Where is responsibility for people who are dying or having extreme side effects or symptoms and unable to work for those employers that are mandating no jab, no job? So let's talk a little bit more about that, Sheridan. If you would, the field of vision, right, for this, apparently there's 40% of the population in America that's been jabbed, only 2% in South Africa. But the numbers are inflated. We don't even know it's real anymore, right? So let's just say it's accurate. 40% of the population has been jabbed. There's been over 50,000 things reported to bears on side effects, symptoms, deaths, et cetera. We know that only 10% of them at most get reported. So that's probably closer to 500,000 and more. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people, the fact of the matter is, having issues after having been jabbed. Can you tell us more about this as much as you can? The future and the next year or so, we're seeing a lot of people having side effects that cost a lot of money. Personal story is a friend of mine who had to fly to the East Coast because her mother had to have a heart stent put in because 2 weeks after she'd been jabbed, she's in the hospital in critical condition for weeks.
Unfortunate.
Are health insurance companies going to continue to provide for people who have been, who received the vaccine? Or is there going to be a shift coming here?
Again, there's no crystal ball, but I understand how insurance companies work. They're old established brick and mortar institutions. These companies crunch data like you would not believe. They know what's coming well before the general public, well before the government. I can see that they're crunching data right now. They're seeing that the government is offering all these vaccines for free for anybody who wants them. However, in the history of vaccines, we all know that they've had adverse reactions to some of them. People who have had them had adverse reactions to it. That's just what I'm going to say, natural selection. That's just what happens. However, the insurance companies at this point, and we're only into 2021, you know, halfway through the year. And so there's more data coming in, but I can see in the future, and I've already seen a little bit of this already in some private coverage, health insurance, medical, and life insurance. They have always stated in the details is exclusions, limitations, and waiting periods. They most likely will not cover experimental vaccines or medications or even medical devices without a certain waiting period. I can see in the future that is going to be a question for particularly private healthcare, which means you are underwritten, you are screened for certain conditions. They're not going to accept you, or they will approve you depending on what they will accept and what they won't. However, if you're a healthy person, and this is happening, I mean, no, everybody knows it. If you're not paying attention, it's all over. People who are getting the jab or vaccine have had adverse reactions. They're myocardiologists or myocarditis, you know, inflammation of the heart. You're a healthy young 33-year-old woman or man, and you have a vaccine, and now you're having heart issues, and then you go try to apply for, you know, private health care or life insurance. Yeah, you've got the vaccine, but now that's creating a pre-existing condition. They're going to look at that, and the insurance companies are going to be like, well, we'll accept the life insurance, but we're going to give you a substandard rate. And then the health side of it, they're going to go, you know, we already know the data. We can't tell you. We keep it general for that very fact. So we have a way out, but we're not going to cover you possibly because now you have an issue because possibly of this vaccine, and we're not going to cover you. You're going to have to go to an Obamacare plan, which is a guaranteed issue plan, which means they'll accept anybody who's healthy or sick. But again, if you don't get a subsidy, you could get a health plan through private and pay $250, $300 for it for the same age, 33 years old, or pay $600 for it on an Affordable Care Act plan.
And there's limitations within that plan that they offer you. In order to get subsidized, in order for us to cover you with insurance, then you're going to have to fulfill this long list, which is another vaccine, another injection, or whatever that means. You have to do the song and the pony dance with them.
Let's back up for a second on this too. I want to bring this into awareness. Tell me what your thoughts are on this. that it's not a vaccine. Okay. It cannot be defined as a vaccine. It's actually considered a human trial. So how they're describing this particular jab, you know, is that going to play a part in whether or not health insurance covers this? Because this is what came into my head while you were just talking. When you said, you know, they're going to see that someone has, say, a healthy person, 33-year-old, you know, has heart problems or whatever, and they see that they have taken the vaccine. But if it's considered a trial and you've opted into a trial, you've chosen to expose yourself to a potential, you know, something that could potentially harm you. You've known that. Okay. So do you have any thoughts about what that, you know, what that looks like? I mean, is that something that we need to be thinking about? People need to be thinking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been in the business long enough to that. I've read thousands and thousands of pages. I mean, the fine details that people just look at the deck page or declaration page of their life insurance, and they know how much it will be on a payout upon death. But there's 20 to 40 pages after that. Read the fine print. It's been in there for decades, you know, like the suicide clause. You know, you get a life insurance and you commit suicide within 2 or 3 years, depending on the carrier, you're not going to get a payout. They do that with medical devices, Carmen, just like you said. It is a trial. It's experimental. If the medical device isn't okayed by the FDA, or it's approved, but it isn't, or it's been authorized, but not approved, just like this vaccine, that's experimental. They're going to say, no, you know, most likely that's not going to be covered. Sorry.
And here's, I'll just remind you guys of my own experience. Breast implants were approved as safe by the FDA. But many of us who got breast implants, who ended up getting sick from them, that they're not honoring, we've had to fork out $15,000, $30,000 to reverse that surgery. It's called explant surgery. So, and that's something we're fighting for now, decades later, hundreds of thousands of women fighting to try to get some degree of reimbursement from the insurance company. So it's the other way around. It's innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
According to the FDA, you know, they're innocent until you prove them guilty, and it takes decades. And we still haven't gotten to that point with just breast implants. And that was an elective surgery. This is an elective injection that people are doing. And these things have never, like for breast implants, they were never approved as safe longer than a few months. In fact, when they've done long-term studies, they found after 10 years of it, they had up to 800% increased risk of autoimmune disease. So the writing is on the wall with these are the things that they've been putting out for years. How is this injection any different? And the reason we're bringing this up is like a real life conversation I was having with somebody close to me that decided to get it, the jab. And I said, because thanks to your guidance, Sheridan said, did you know that these life insurance policies, health insurance companies can at any point drop you or reject any kind of coverage because of these unknown gray area clauses, limitations that very few people even read? Because if they're saying that doctors are exempt, insurance companies are exempt, the manufacturers of the jab are exempt from any injury, who's liable? Who's liable, Sheridan? If anything happens and anybody has side effects, who is liable for these injuries or illnesses or death from the jabs, the experimental thing?
Great question. Ultimately, every decision is made by you. That lands firmly in each other's laps right here. You know, it's really hard to gather all the intelligence out there, and you're getting hit by this information and that information. And that's even more reason to just push pause and say, maybe I'm not going to comply here. I need to look well in the matter, and I need to figure out a strategy, you know, to do for my personal health, for my family's health. Is this doctor somebody I can trust? You know, if they're coercing and trying to sell vaccines, which they are, that's a big red flag in my book. Huge big red flag.
Yeah.
I mean, you got 50,000 people year to year that die from the flu every year. 50,000. What was it? 1.2 million people died from tuberculosis in 2008. We didn't hear about that. They weren't asking for masks, social distancing then. you know? So there's things that are going to happen to all of us. It's that protection, you know, that pyramid of protection that we talked about is try to do your due diligence, you know, take the time, don't get caught up in the momentum of this information or that, and just, you know, do what's best for you, do what's best for you, but please look at the details. I mean, know what you're getting.
Yes. It's protection.
Yeah.
Protection by having insurance in place to know what will likely cover you. Planning in the event that there is an emergency, like having a $10,000 bucket of money if you have a $10,000 deductible. And you could use that for vacation, or you could use that from an HSA for working with Carmen to learn how to be your own health coach. And you could use that HSA for those as medical expenses.
Or absolutely.
You could use it with me to do functional medicine and lab testing and detoxification and spend that, invest it in your health and supplementation. So if you don't use that $10,000 on the planning for emergencies, you could use it to be proactive and preventative so that you don't run into absolutely needing your health insurance. Carmen, I know you were, I saw your energy over there. You had something to.
Yeah. I want to make sure before we wrap up session one that I get a couple questions answered that just came in on a group of coaches and some people that I've asked about health. So do you mind if we lead to that, and then we'll go part two will be about the other stuff that we want to get a little bit more in detail about that we can't hear.
100% and the juices. If you guys have a significant other that's been jabbed,
yeah,
lots of women who have husbands who have been jabbed, and you guys maybe are stay at home, or he's the main, you know, breadwinner. And if something happens to him and he's been jabbed, there is a chance that you may not be covered. He might not, you know, he might not pass down an estate from a life insurance plan. So we've got to be thinking about these things. Go ahead, Carmen. Yeah.
Okay. So I've got a question here from Margaret, and she's asking, she says, I'm on Medicare now, but what is really annoying is that most of the service that she wants aren't covered. It's automatically paid for out of her Social Security check. She said that she has little say in it. Basically she's healthy and things like that. But if she wanted to add more services and pay more money, she can, but they call her every week telling her she needs a wellness visit, a mammogram, a vaccine, but they won't cover biological dentistry or labs that aren't indicated by a diagnosis. So, you know, and this is my question on the end of her little statement here. The benefits of Medicaid or Medicare, I'm sorry. What are they? I mean, because from what I'm reading here, I'm like, well, you can't use who you want. You can't do natural things. You know, they don't have the services that you're looking for. Like, what are the benefits of it? And I mean, is it worth it?
At that age, anybody, they're going to need some sort of protection. And Medicare at that, for the cost and what it provides, is the best benefit. I mean, it's probably one of the best decisions that anybody can make. Otherwise, you can stay employed and get a group plan and stay on that group plan, but you have to work for somebody to get that health care. Medicare has what they call a donut hole, which is a big old fat 20% is going to be out of your pocket every year, depending if you're using your services or not. So that's what she's talking about, is there's the exclusions and limitations and waiting periods. And Medicare is what I consider a catastrophic major medical for the elderly, which they're going to need, because nobody escapes the injuries of time, right? Something's going to give out. Even if you're healthy, something's going to give out. And so she's talking about the 20%, you know, and that's going to be all out of pocket. And it is worth it. You can get a Medicare Advantage plan, which is private Medicare. It's just the, like, United Healthcare takes care of it, right? Or you can get a supplement, or you can get Part A and B all the way to G, Plan G. So without getting into detail, you know, might be behoove herself for annual enrollment period is to look into maybe getting another plan, looking at other plans that will help those out-of-pocket expenses that she's having. Because Medicare can help with that. It's just, there's lots of venues and options that she can tailor for her particular situation.
Yeah, I got that feeling when you said that, you know, it's catastrophic care, really. That's kind of what I thought. It was like, well, at least if something crazy happens, you know, catastrophically, you have that coverage. Okay. And then there's one more. And then the other ones I'm going to save into the other group. Why can't there be health insurance prices for healthy people? I have to pay so much a month for something I don't use. Why can't it be like auto insurance, where it's cheap until you submit claims and then your prices increase to reflect that?
There is. It's called private health care. Private health care is underwritten. There's many companies that I work with that provide private health care, which means they are underwritten. they're going to screen you, and it is a questionnaire on your overall health. And in my experience, they can be 40% less than an Affordable Care Act plan. I've even pulled people, I haven't pulled people off, but I've given them the numbers, and I've even had them go off a group plan to go to private plan because it's just less expensive.
I'll say that exactly what you did for me when I moved from California, and I was under the Obamacare plan, full discretion and full disclaimer. And I moved from California to Arizona, and I need to get health insurance. And it went through you. That made the most sense for me. It was the same price, if not a little bit less, than what I would have paid for Obamacare. And I had more freedom and flexibility to choose the doctors I wanted to go to. You could just call in and talk to somebody to get a prescription instead of having to go and jump through their hoops and go into the hospital and do all the crazy, there's like multiple steps that you have to do. And then you end up with a doctor who's trained under the set care system more so that doesn't have as much flexibility. And I was able to get my gym membership covered because they have this like wellness options that you can apply for, a little extra things that saved me $50. So there's a lot more when you go to, the private sector than this big public one like Medicare, Medicaid. And it's just going to, you guys, it's a bifurcation. It's just going to keep happening. You know, in order to keep your coverage, you're going to have to jump through their hoops. And if not, they're going to hound you, just like Carmen's in it. They're going to keep pressuring you. And then at some point, you're going to get so annoyed that you're going to cave, and we're trying to prevent that from happening. That's what's happening with people who are getting vaccinated with the experimental project that is happening among us in order to fly, in order to work. And many people are doing this ahead of time, even though they haven't been pressured to the vaccine, because they think, well, I might as well just get it done now because at some point it's probably going to be mandated. Those people have never really had their minds. And those might be people that you care about in your circle. Those might be people that might not be here in the next couple of years, but who you're depending on financially to bring in money for, that hopefully, if you're not doing this audit, you might not have an estate. You might not have money passed down if you haven't done an audit. So let's move into part two. In this next episode, where we're going to take offline into our membership community, we're going to talk about informed consent. We're going to talk about the HIPAA violations that are happening right in front of us, all over the place, where it is illegal for any company to mandate a vaccine for you to work for them, and what liability it means for your employer who is mandating these vaccines, right? So it's really important you guys come back for part two. This is where we're going to get into the goods of your freedom and how to take action on all of them moving forward, knowing what your rights are, because that's where we're at. It's important to know your rights, who you answer to, and it is not the government. It is not your employer. So anything else, any parting words before we move into the membership community, Carmen or Sheridan?
No, I don't have anything. I'm looking forward to hearing the answers to those questions, though. I get them all the time. I hear them all the time. What do you know about this? What do you know about that? Well, nothing, because that's not my wheelhouse. That's Sheridan's wheelhouse. So I'm excited to hear about it.
How can people reach out to you, Sheridan?
I have a website that they can go to. They can call my personal cell phone at, I can give it to you, 602-999-6181, or healthinsurancemaven@gmail.com is my email.
Yep. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here for part one of this episode. We talk about the holes in your health insurance, life insurance, and estate plan that you should probably ASAP do an audit on to really understand the gray areas and how to, as much as you can, plug these holes. Let's take this into episode two, part two, where we're going to talk about how to implement these in your life in the Action Takers and Change Makers group, which you can join us on the links below. We will see you over there, and we will see you in the next episode. If you don't join us over there, make sure that you are also asking questions so that we can create episodes for you moving forward. See you over there, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If this episode moved you and you're seeking community, courage, and clarity to help you take massive action now toward health, happiness, and freedom, we'd like to invite you to join our Transformation Tribe. Just go to DianeKaiser.com or CarmenHunterHealth.com and click on Truth Tribe to join us, where you'll be reminded daily that your life has purpose, your story has significance, your dreams count, your voice matters, and you were born to make an impact. You've struggled long enough. The war is won. Your solutions are here. It's time to unlearn the lies, untether the prison bars, and unleash your sovereign soul so you can finally be free. See you in the group, Truth Seekers and Speakers, and remember, your intuition
is your light, and truth always wins.